Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's 15-Minute Devotional Program, an online video podcast series for Akron Alliance Fellowship Church in Akron, Ohio, and for listeners to Melvin Gaines' Faith Channel podcast. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Melvin Gaines. As usual, this program will continue to allow people to get into God's Word and stay in God's Word as we learn more and more about the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this particular program, we're going to be covering the two-year Bible reading plan daily reading for Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Welcome to May. Amen. Of course, our church, Akron Alliance Fellowship, encourages participation in the two-year Bible reading plan, which allows for the reader to cover the entire Bible over a two-year period. In our particular devotional here, which will take about 25 to up to 30 minutes, our program is going to be reading the passages for today, and then we're going to make some verbal notes about the content as we go. But when you participate daily in the two-year Bible reading plan, it's going to entail essentially a reading time of 7 to 10 minutes of Scripture, followed by an additional 5 to 8 minutes of time in prayer and meditation over what's been read. And that's a total of 15 minutes per day. That's why we refer to our program as the 15-minute devotional. That's the time that you'll be spending in the Word every day. And it's a good way to get people to develop these habits of staying in God's Word and reading. I'm challenging my church, the members of my church as well, too, to be in the Word every day, because it's so important for us to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord. And it's a good way to develop good habits. If you have time constraints, if you have a busy schedule, carving out 15 minutes a day and spending time in the Word, it makes all the difference. And of course, you're going to wind up reading more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes of Scripture over time as you learn to love the Word of God. But the habits are starting, that are going to get you into the Word. You're not going to want to miss it every day. You can get downloadable copies of the two-year Bible reading plan by going to our website, akronalliance.org, by selecting the Links tab and then clicking on the tab that says two-year Bible reading plan. Today's verses are going to be Job chapter 38, verse 1 through chapter 39, verse 30. So it'll be chapters 38 and 39 of Job. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 45, verses 1 through 6. And Proverbs 14, verses 15 and 16. So with that in mind, we're going to get into it and not waste any more time. And let's get into the Word today, but we want to do so by starting out with a word of prayer. Amen. Lord, we are thankful that you're here with us. You are worthy of our praise and for the time that we spend to get into your Word each day. Lord, help us to develop these good habits, to stay faithful and true to your Word. Let us follow through on the plans we make to read your Word and study Scripture more and more. And we thank you, Lord, for how it pays off in the long run in doing so. We want to know more about you, and we know that the best way to do so is by reading your Word, the very Word you provide for us. Bless this time, Lord, and we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, everybody, turn your Bibles and electronic devices to Job chapter 38. We're going to look at verse 1. Job 38, verse 1. This passage, after all of the dialogue that had been taking place between Job and his three friends, the friends that were so-called friends that were spending time with him, and they were going back and forth, finally the conversations had deteriorated so much. This was time now for, this is the dreaded time if you want to look at it from the standpoint of hearing the Lord speak to you through clouds. But Job 38 verse 1, the Lord answers Job, where he essentially is left alone. There was a storm apparently coming on the horizon. And that's essentially what took place at the end of chapter 37, where the last of his friends deserted him because I guess the storm was approaching. So let's listen. Let's follow along with the New Living Translation. That's the version we always read from. It's a very readable version. And let's start with verse 1 of Job 38. We're going to read all the way through for 38 and 39 and go back over both chapters with a comment after that. Verse 1, Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determines its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb and as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. Verse 12, have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed against beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Have you explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter doom? Verse 18, do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Pardon me, where does light come from and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all this, for you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. Have you visited the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail? I have reserved them as weapons for the time of trouble and for the day of battle and war. Verse 24, where is the path to the source of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Who created a channel for the torrents of rain? Who laid out the path for the lightning? Who makes the rain fall on barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father who gives birth to the dew? Who is the mother of the ice who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock and the surface of the water freezes. Can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster of the Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or give the bear or guide the bear with their cubs across the heavens? Verse 33, do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike you, strike as you direct? Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind? Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven when the parched ground is dry and the soil has hardened into clods? Can you stalk prey for a lioness and satisfy the lion's appetites as they lie in their dens or crouch in the thicket? Who provides food for the ravens when their young cry out to God and wander about in hunger? All right, let's go to chapter 39, verse 1. Continuing the reading. Do you know when the wild goats give birth? Have you watched as deer are born in the wild? Do you know how many months they carry their young? Are you aware of the time of their delivery? They crouch down to give birth to their young and deliver their offspring. Their young grow up in the open fields and leave home and never return. Who gives the wild donkey its freedom? Who untied its ropes? I have placed it in the wilderness. Its home is the wasteland. It hates the noise of the city and has no driver to shout at it. The mountains are its pasture land where it searches for every blade of grass. Will the wild ox consent to being tamed? Will it spend the night in your stall? Can you hitch a wild ox to a plow? Will it plow a field for you? Verse 11, given its strength, can you trust it? Can you leave and trust the ox to do your work? Can you rely on it to bring home your grain and deliver it to your threshing floor? The ostrich flaps her wings grandly, but they are no match for the feathers of the stork. She lays her eggs on top of the earth, letting them be warmed in the dust. She doesn't worry that a foot might crush them or a wild animal might destroy them. Verse 16, she is harsh toward her young as if they were not her own. She doesn't care if they die. For God has deprived her of wisdom. He has given her no understanding. But whenever she jumps up to run, she passes the swiftest horse with its rider. Have you given the horse its strength or clothed its neck with a flowing mane? Did you give it ability to leap like a locust? Its majestic snorting is terrifying. It paws the earth and rejoices in its strength when it charges out to battle. It laughs at fear and is unafraid. It does not run from the sword. The arrows rattle against it, and the spear and the javelin flash. It paws the ground fiercely and rushes forward into battle when the ram's horn blows. It snorts at the sound of the horn. It senses the battle in the distance. It quivers at the captain's commands and the noise of battle. Is it your wisdom that makes the hawk soar and spreads its wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle rises to the heights to make its nest? It lives on the cliffs, making its home on a distant rocky crag. From there it hunts its prey, keeping watch with piercing ears. Its young gulp down blood. When there's a carcass, there you'll find it. That's Job chapter 38 and chapter 39 in their entirety. Verses 38:1 through 39:30. There's not much you can say here. Chapter 38 was a demonstration of the Lord speaking, in some cases with sarcasm as well, too, to Job, who is the one who is being directed, all this information was being given to. And this is after all this dialogue going back and forth with the friends. And now the Lord spoke and basically had Job listen and listen very carefully to all the things that he was saying. In chapter 38, the focus was on nature itself, the very creation of the heavens, the earth, all the things that go and flow with it. Chapter 39 focused more on the animals and the back end, looking at their properties, knowing when they were going to give birth, how they gave birth, knowing their level of intellect. All those things were being shared with Job. And when in the future reading, when we get to chapter 40, when you do your reading, you'll see that he's going to ask Job, what do you think about all this? What do you say about this? Do you believe that you can answer these questions about how these things came about? And of course, Job would have no answer whatsoever. I think if anybody were in Job's position and he heard, you would hear the voice of the Lord speak to you, you're not going to say a thing. I'm sure, pretty sure that I would be the same person in the same situation too, because first of all, he's speaking, he's trying to teach Job something here. It's not just about trying to tell Job off or anything like, nothing like that. He is basically making a statement about who he is and commanding or telling Job or listening and having Job say, look, you're speaking out of ignorance. You don't know what you're saying. And we have to understand something about Job. This, as far as we know in Scripture, is the earliest book. It was written at a time where God's words were not being recorded, and there are people who are aware of who God was and knew who God was, but they didn't know as much as they should have about who he was. Faith still had to come into play here too, everybody. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to that. It still had to do with believing in God. And because Job did believe in God, God responded to him by making him righteous and giving him this righteousness before others. But even in that, Job still had to learn some very important lessons about God, learn about who he was and who he is, and recognize that these words that he's giving, he's talking about things that no human being has the capability of knowing or understanding, because those things are what they are. The oceans, the heavens, the stars, all those things were created by God. And we don't have anything to say about that or do about that. And we certainly can't make a claim to know how those things came about. And I think that's what Job is challenging. I'm sorry, God is challenging Job on this particular, these subjects here. And of course, Job at this point, after being worn down, he's very weak. He's listening and he's learning, though, from this dialogue, from this conversation that he's going to be having with the Lord, albeit a very brief one, that he had a lot more to learn indeed. May we take that as a lesson here for recognizing the majesty of God, his goodness. And a lot of people who challenge the existence of God, I would put this book in front of them and ask them to look at this and see if they can answer those same questions the way Job was questioned. That might be a good tool for them to look at this. Hey, why don't you start reading in Job chapter 38 and 39? Tell me what you think. And something to that effect. Amen. It would be good for believers to read it too, because we need to sometimes be reminded of the wonder of God and how he does what he does, where he speaks and things come into existence. That's according to his word. He has that kind of power. He has that kind of ability. Amen and amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's take a look at verses 1 through 10. This particular section is about, frankly, providing comfort to believers. It's a time where there are people who are living for Christ, making the decision to live for Christ, and also giving their lives for Christ. Amen. I mean, that's what we recognize too. Paul's going to be one of those same people, frankly. But let's read through verses 1 through 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the heading in my Bible here says, our heavenly dwelling. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Amen. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. That's an important statement. Verse 4, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Well, these are the inspired words of God speaking through Paul, giving us information that's very helpful for us about what happens to us when we die. We shed this body. This body goes into a grave. But God is going to give us heavenly bodies, bodies that are much different from these earthly bodies. And that's what we have to look forward to when the time comes, when we're united with our Heavenly Father. And we're going to have bodies that go with these spirits. And so that's what he's giving us as information here. We don't need to just hope for this to happen. We can believe it's going to happen, but Paul is giving us the words that we can expect this to happen. This is what's being revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. This is an expectation. The fact that we'll have bodies that will be similar to what we have in appearance, as far as how we look, and we'll all be recognized in heaven by people who will recognize us, because God will give us the ability to see that and understand that as well. And he's using the word, Paul's using the word about skein, which is tent. It's a tabernacle. It's not meant to be a flimsy body. It's supposed to be an eternal body. You know, the body, the tabernacle that was created when the Israelites were worshiping the Lord, that was a temporary thing. It wasn't a permanent thing. And frankly, tents are tents. You know, tents can be blown down as well too, but we don't want to get carried away with the fact that it's not a tent as in a temporary body that we're going to inherit. If anything, these bodies are a temporary. These are the ones that are breaking down and wearing out over time. But we're going to have a new body. And that's what we're going to look forward to and have to look forward to. Because Paul says this body is eternal in the heavens. It's an eternal body. So something to look forward to. Something to definitely believe and trust in when we talk about the goodness of God and what he has waiting for us, what's in store for us. But I also mark what it says in verse 10. We all must stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Be accountable for what you've done. Look at what you have done, what you've accomplished or not accomplished, and ask the Lord for forgiveness if you need to, and get back in fellowship with him and stay in fellowship with him. Stay in the word every day and recognize that he indeed promises that he's prepared a place for us. That's what he says in his word as well too. And with that place, we still have a heavenly body that we have to look forward to. Let's go to Psalm 45 and let's look at verses 1 through 6. Psalm 45. As you have noticed, if you followed along with our programming, the two-year Bible reading plan includes readings of Psalm and Proverbs every day. In fact, you essentially do cover all of the Psalms and all of the Proverbs in 1 year, and then just flips back and does the same thing again the following year. But don't neglect reading the Psalms and Proverbs. They are richly, they're beautiful. They're rich in content. They speak emotionally about how much God loves us and how we should be devoted to the Lord as well, too. This particular psalm, we're only going to read the first six verses in Psalm 45, but it is a messianic psalm, and it is quoted in Hebrews as well, too. And this is written by one of the sons of Korah, who were, in fact, a family or group of musicians, the ones who were responsible for providing the music. And in fact, this one is written to the chief musician. Let's just read the psalm. We'll go through it and talk about this. But I want you to look for Christ in this reading. He is the one that is being written about as the Messiah. Verse 1, for the choir director, a love song to be sung to the tune of lilies, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Beautiful words stir my heart. I will recite a lovely poem about the king. For my tongue is like the pen of a skillful poet. You are the most handsome of all. Gracious words stream from your lips. God himself has blessed you forever. Put on your sword, O mighty warrior. You are so glorious, so majestic. In your majesty, ride out to victory, defending truth, humility, and justice. Go forth to perform awe-inspiring deeds. Verse 5, your arrows are sharp, piercing your enemies' hearts. The nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. Beautiful words. That's Psalm 45, verses 1 through 6. Did you hear the descriptions here about how it's referring to, in verse 2, God has himself has blessed you forever. He's referring to the blessing on the Messiah. He's referring to exactly who he is and what he is, the mighty warrior that goes forth for us. He's the one that's going to have our enemies defeated. They're already defeated because of what he did on the cross for us. And I just love the description here about he does reign. He's going to endure forever and ever. He is going to reign forever because he was elevated, because he sat at the right hand of the Father. God elevated him to have this ability to reign forever and ever. And this is what we indeed can look forward to. But what a beautiful rendering of this. Of course, I've only read part of Psalm 45. You're welcome to read the rest of that on your own. Know that this is just part of the reading for today, because it takes you through the entire book of Psalms. But what a wonderful reading about our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Let's go to Proverbs 14, verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 14, verses 15 and 16. This is a very simple section of scripture. Proverbs, they typically always go back and forth and talk about wisdom and folly or foolishness. And there is a comparative always being made about those who are wise and the decisions they make and those who are foolish and the lack of decision-making or poor decision-making that they make. We have a lot of people who fall in those categories. And when we look at this, we have to recognize that God sees it too. He sees the importance of us recognizing the importance of wisdom, trusting in the wisdom of the Lord, and just repelling ourselves away from those things that are foolishness, staying away from people who are foolish for that matter, and praying for them, of course, but keeping clear of those problems. Let me read verses 15 and 16, Proverbs 14. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. In verse 16, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. A lot of common sense in Proverbs. A lot of the things that we're saying here, we recognize this. And these sentences are even referring to the behavior of men and women. I noticed that even in the commentary, it talks about how wise women build their house, but the ones who can wreck their own homes with bad decisions or poor decision making. And in some respects, that's what's being mentioned here. If you go back to the beginning of Proverbs, and you'll see that. But at the end of the day, Proverbs chapter 14, excuse me. But you'll see that, frankly, people who are rash, people who are harsh, they lunge ahead and they do things and say things that they'll regret later. People who are prudent, people who are giving consideration, they're not jumping the gun, they're waiting to take in all the information, then they make a decision based upon that. Right, wrong, or indifferent, they're being cautious and they're trying to rely upon the best wisdom they have. And that's what we are all to do. We need to be cautious. We need to make sure that we're paying attention to our surroundings. We need to make sure we're paying attention to things that are taking place. We don't necessarily have to look over our shoulders every 5 seconds. We just need to rely upon the confidence that if we're following the Lord and being obedient to Him and staying in His will, we're going to come out pretty good on the end when we do those things. It's when we just basically say there is no God. We don't believe that He's going to do anything to help us. We don't think we need Him. That's where you'll see that foolishness catch up with a person, and they are going to run into serious trouble. And that's where the danger comes in. That's what we have to see here. So I hope you can, as we look through these Proverbs and Psalms, by the way, that we just continue to learn the lessons about proper decision-making, things being prudent in the way we do things, making sure that we don't move too quickly, be very deliberate in our moves, allow the Spirit to speak to us in times of where we need to make important decisions relatively quickly. Let the Spirit lead you in all of that. And that way you're not going to go wrong. You're going to go in the right direction for sure. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time that we have spent in Your Word today. Bless this time, Lord. We thank You for Your presence and the teaching that comes from it. Bless us, Lord, that we do not have to learn hard lessons because we are just not paying attention to You or focused on You. May we always lean on You, lean on the words that You have in Scripture, lean on the words that You provide through the power of the Holy Spirit when You speak to us. May we, Lord, always be sensitive to You according to the Spirit. We thank You, we give You praise, and ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today for this 15-minute devotional program. It's been a joy to be with you. God bless you and take care of yourselves. We'll see you around the corner, and we'll see you next time.